Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode. And I am so excited to have my friend Sandra Lou Taylor on with us today for the second time. Welcome.
We are here. It's so fun to be back.
It is. And for those of you that maybe didn't catch her first interview here on the podcast, I call her Sandy, but her author name is Sandra Lou Taylor, and she is part of my critique group. She's a wonderful critique partner, and she keeps me moving on my own writing. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you. You're always critiquing my work and helping make it better.
So anyone listening that is getting into writing, you definitely want to find some great critique partners. They're going to help you quite a bit. So welcome. We are here to talk about your next book in your Hadley Hope series, which is, I believe this is book 3, correct? Yes. And it is More Than a Little Turmoil, correct? Yes. All right. And it is actually available right now for anyone who's listening on Amazon. It officially launches, though, on April 4th. Okay. All right, well, let's just talk about, this is book 3, so what would they need to know if someone's just jumping in right now and they haven't read the first two books? What would they need to know a little bit about the series?
Well, I've written every one of my books as a standalone book, so you don't have to know anything else about the series. But as I wrote the series, basically book 1, More Than an Attractive Face, I wrote to get my main characters, the mother and father of the family saga. That's when they meet and marry. She wasn't about to be married to somebody that she didn't love just to be an attractive appendage on his arm. And so she ran away from home to the frontier and developed some real backbone and strength. And we meet the family in book 1. Book 2 is more than a small challenge. And that is a book that explores the why would somebody leave a comfortable life in Indiana to move to a frontier town, which is basically a tent city, in Kansas. We find out the reason why they would do that. Then in this book, we are moved to Kansas Territory in Lawrence, and it is a very tumultuous time in Kansas history. And the fourth book in the series... The series will hope to have published by this time next year, and it's More Than a Civil War, and it covers the Civil War in Eastern.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because this is taking place during what we call the Bleeding Kansas era. What drew you to that time era as you wrote this series?
Actually, it started off as I questioned about the Underground Railroad, because I discovered the Underground Railroad was more active in Kansas than I ever thought. I grew up in Kansas, took Kansas history classes. I discovered that I knew very little about Kansas history, at least in this era. So that fascinated me. The Kansas-Nebraska Act of 54-55 set up the Civil War in Kansas before the Civil War happened, because Kansas could choose to become a slave state or a free state. Missouri people started going in and running out any free settlers. The Boston Immigrant Aid Society and other groups sent abolitionists to Kansas to populate it for the free state. If you weren't of the right political persuasion, we might just burn your house down or beat you up or kill you. And it did happen in west and eastern and northeastern Kansas fairly frequently. It set up a lot of violence. The years of 1854 to 57 were full of violence. Kansas had to write four constitutions. They had four constitutional conventions. They had to write four constitutions before they could get one that the voters could agree on and Congress would accept. And the only reason Kansas came into the United States as a free state is because some of the states seceded from the Union. And so in late 1860, the balance of free states was stronger. And in 1861, President Buchanan on January 29th signed it into state. The battle was very, very important that was going on in Kansas. And Kansas had to come in as a free state because the United States government was 50-50, 50 slavery, 50 free. And if Kansas came in as a slave state, we would have gone with slavery throughout the whole Union, because that would have made the slave states in control. So that also, I wanted to write about that because it was so important that we came in as a free state.
Yeah, and I know you have done a ton of research in this area as well. And I kind of want to ask you this question before we dive into some of your characters. But when you were researching this, was there anything that really surprised you when you looked at the Underground Railroad, maybe, and some of the families that participated in it?
Really astounded me. One of the things that I investigated, though, is they had to have help of white people. You know, somebody had to help them along the way. And I wanted to investigate, discover, think about how could they have been helped and why would those people have helped them. This was a very segregated society, and even people who did not want slavery were separatist, most of them. I don't want black people to be enslaved, but I don't want them in my neighborhood either, was a lot of the attitude. So that one shocked me, and I found it kind of disturbing, but that's the way it was.
Yeah.
So when you found white people that really embraced
acts of God, I say, right? That's probably no other way to explain that. So let's talk a little bit about Elizabeth Hadley. So she starts off as this reluctant pioneer, right? And she really wants to just go back home. They're really roughing it. And how did you develop her then into someone that she's got this really quiet strength or backbone, if you will, for the freedom movement?
She was really reluctantly drawn into it. Elizabeth has a very strong sense of right and wrong. She believes in hard work. She believes in family, and she has a strong faith in God. So, I mean, basically, as challenges dumped themselves on her, she accepted them. And through the faith, and the family, the Hadley family are very, very, very close and assist each other, help each other out in all of the challenges that they face. And so, I don't know, I loved her strength, and it was fun to write that.
Yeah. And so what, for people who may not be familiar with the storyline, and I don't think you would be in this unless you've read it, but you might know the Hadleys if you've read the first two books, but they actually come across Solomon, who is a runaway slave, correct? And they decide that they are going to help him as they're traveling. They're taking him with them, but they're presenting him as if he's their slave, right? In order to safely transport him. Can you just kind of maybe explain that setup a little bit?
Yes, the Hadley family were a four-wagon caravan that were going through the middle of Missouri. A lot of the immigrants went through north of Missouri because of the danger of going through middle of Missouri. But they were going through the middle of Missouri, just south of what was called Little Dixie, because it was a very plantation slavery section in the middle of Missouri. And they knew that they were slipping through, and they were having to be careful. One night, Solomon shows up. He's half starved to death, about half dead, and he steals food. Well, The Hadleys had already helped a runaway slave family in Indiana, the Davis family. And so they knew about how to help Solomon, but they offered to help Solomon. Now, Solomon joining them in the middle of Missouri was very, very, very dangerous. Number one, because they did not know Solomon. They could be arrested and fined and jailed for helping Solomon as a fugitive, and Solomon could be killed or sent back into slavery, which is probably what would have happened. So it was very iffy helping Solomon because they didn't know him. They didn't know whether they could trust him. They didn't know whether they, you know, he would respond correctly when he needed to respond. So they worked out a deal where Solomon would pretend to be their slave whenever anybody else was around, but they treated him with dignity and respect when no other people were around. But that even got to be dangerous because they felt like people were spying on them as they went through Missouri. So it was a very risky business.
Yes, and you're right. It was brave people on both ends to do the Underground Railroad. Those helping and those choosing to take that route to get out of slavery took a lot of bravery. In the midst of this chaos and this very tense, I'm trying to get from point A to point B without getting caught in the crosshairs of Bleeding Kansas and helping Solomon find freedom, you have Elizabeth and Daniel adopt Lois and Fred. Can you kind of explain, like, this is maybe could be unexpected storyline for some of your readers, and just explain how you came to bring that into the story?
Well, Elizabeth and Daniel wanted more children, but they did not have any more. And they were living in Lawrence, and well, they can't come to Lawrence. Anyway, one day, okay, wait just a minute. Let me get my timeline straight. The rest of the family Hadley had come through Missouri and had just arrived in Lawrence. And as they came into town, they saw a wagon that was off on a hill with a horse that was just standing there. And so they were a little curious as to what's going on. So they went out to investigate. The whole circumstance around this actually was reported in newspapers, and it actually happened. Two children out there. The children, what had happened is they were running away. Their family was running away from a prairie fire. One of the children fell out of the back of a wagon. And so when the parents got out to put the child back in the wagon, the horses were spooked, ran off with the children. The parents died in the prairie fire. And so they find these two little children. They bring them into their house and take care of them and nurture them. So it's one of those sad stories. I ran across all kinds of fascinating stories that several of them made their way into the book.
Wow. And do you kind of share that with your readers at the back of the book with in your author's note? Any of the fun things?
I do have an author's note, and I point out that the Hadley family, of course, and my Black people are all fictional, but I try to work them in among historic people. I try to keep the dates as historical as possible. Even minor characters, many of them are historical names that I found in newspapers or other or books that I used for research.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the perks of writing historical romance or historical fiction in any shape is the research and all the fun things that you find. So I'm sure you probably, do you share some of that out in your newsletter as well?
I haven't at this point. There's no reason why I won't. And that's a possibility. I a lot of times am writing about other things, I mean, that are of interest. Like, you know, this was Kansas, this was Women's Month in National Women's Month. So I selected historical women from Kansas that were very powerful. We had the first judge. We had the first mayor in the female mayor in the United States. One of the first female senators in the United States. So I share stuff like that. It's kind of like whatever it happens to be, I do share historical things quite often. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have also, this is really awesome, in the back of your book, when we talk about some of that extra content, you've already created some book club questions. So for anyone listening out there that runs your own book club, check out Sandy's books because she's already done the work for you. she's got the questions well, set
and
up
yes,
for you.
I would be more than happy to meet with your book club via Zoom if you are interested.
Yes, most book clubs out there would love that too. That's always great to connect with the author. But one of your book club questions is how asking the reader how Bleeding Kansas era feels relevant today. How might you answer that question?
The polarization of political sides was just as vicious then as it is today. I think it's quite strong today. And really, you know, the unwillingness of the two sides to communicate and negotiate really struck me.
Yeah.
Nothing new under the sun. You need to study history to know how history happened and to know what's happening today.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. Very true. Even if you go back to the Old Testament, you're going to find it in there too. Every time we read through the Bible and we're reading through that Old Testament, my husband and I always say, we as humans have not changed. It's the same cycles, you see. So praise the Lord, he loves us still. One of the things too, you do a really good job of humanizing people on both sides of the slavery debate without excusing the evil, though, of the institution itself. But how do you write that moral complexity, giving equal a fair view of both sides, I guess?
Well, I think that a lot of the intolerance is because we're basically intolerant of people that are different than us. And I try to take my characters and expose them to people that are different than them so that they can learn about them as human beings. I believe that as we learn that all people are human, all people are God's creation and are loved by God and we need to see them as humans, as having talents. A lot of the people that were against slavery had no exposure to slavery. My family starts off back in Indiana with no exposure to the evils of slavery until they find a slave family, a fugitive slave family on their property. And then they get to know them as human beings. And of course, I have them as talented people, and my fugitives are talented and personable and God-fearing, which helped make them more agreeable to my family, my Hadley family, and they were able to integrate and really help each other.
Yeah, you do a wonderful job of that. And I will say, for those listening, another author that does a great job of this is Beth White. She has a series that is actually on the back end of the Civil War. So this is where you're trying to rebuild. And I'm sure you've come across that too in your research, Sandy, where there was a lot of healing that had to happen. So her series is like after the Civil War. But she was raised and she grew up in the South, and she had just a lot of great insights of what was it like to live for her personally, and she didn't live anywhere near, obviously, that time era, but just there are still some things left over. So her interview is up on our website as well. So if you want to look up Beth White on our website and listen to that, if you're interested, she does a great job. I think Sandy and Beth write very similar and do a really great job with that. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit about your writing life. So this is your third book in this series that brings both freedom and constraint.
Plus, I have a novella that fits between book one and book two. And it is the romance it's a historical romance, and it greatly affects the happenings that are in book two. I think you would understand what happens in book two better if you have read the novella.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So you have three books plus a novella. And so, you know, readers start having expectations. They get used to how you write in the storyline. So what was the biggest challenge of continuing Elizabeth's story at this stage.
I love her. The challenge is to come up with new challenges to face her, or challenges that would be realistic that such a strong woman who's experienced so much and had to adapt in so many different ways to come up with something new. I mean, she's devoted to her husband. Many women would not have come to Kansas the way that she was asked to come to Kansas with Daniel, but she felt she loved him deeply and she believed so much in the family. Just coming up with new challenges to a family that's well adjusted, you know, it does present some problems. With everything that was going on in that era, it didn't hurt. And she will face even worse challenges than the Civil War book. It gets worse in Lawrence than it.
Wow. Wow. So hold on to your hats, right? For your readers, what's coming next.
That book is two-thirds written, and I quit writing on it because I was emotionally a mess.
Okay, so with that being said, what is it you hope your readers walk away with as they read this book or any book in this series?
Well, I hope they think about family and the value of family, the value of relationships. I hope they look at the needy people around them differently and with more compassion. I hope they think about turning to God in trying situations. I mean, our family prays at meals and stuff like that, but when something trying happens, for example, when we have Joshua and Harry, the two young boys kidnapped, they pray, and they pray in earnest. I hope that people will think about doing that. I hope people will think about their heritage and the bravery and the strength of our ancestors. And I hope they'll look at their history.
Yeah, it is, especially in this day and age, it's so important to know our history. And I love that you put, I really do hope that people, your first go-to is to go straight to God in prayer when you get faced with a challenge. That's wonderful. So what's next for the Hadley Hope series? I know you said book four. Will there be another one after book four?
No, book four is it. It's the Civil War, and that is going to end there. I do have another novella that is actually a companion book to More Than a Little Turmoil. It happens during the same time frame, but it's a romance. I'm revising it right now. I should have it out late this summer. And it talks about the romance between Margaret and Melvin, and it adds some historical facts and a little bit of the emotion that was going on there. And I'm considering, I have a plot line in mind for one other novella that could happen as a companion book to More Than a Little Turmoil. But that'll be it. Then I plan on no longer writing about the Lawrence, Kansas area. And I plan on moving closer to home in Butler County because we have a rich history down here with the oil boom and the cattle trade and the Flint Hills.
Sounds like fun. So where can our listeners find your books and connect with you?
Okay, Amazon. All my books are on Amazon. And I would like to say that I do have them also available on Audible. More Than an Attractive Face is on Audible. More Than a Small Challenge is on Audible. And More Than a Little Turmoil will be on Audible the middle of April. We're almost finished with that book. If they go to my website, sandraloutaylor.com, they will find a button there that they can click on and join my newsletter. My newsletter comes out twice a month. It always has a joke. It has a wise saying. It has something about something I just find interesting that I found in my research or it's going on in my life. I actually talked at one point about cleaning out the weed cedar trees in our hay pasture because that was what was going on in my life, and it explained that part of the prairie life out here. And I always will have something in there about what I'm writing and if I'm making an appearance or that kind of thing. It's not very long, fairly quick to read, and I think most people find it kind of entertaining.
I do enjoy your newsletters. I open them every time. Yeah, and you do. You have lots of nice snippets in there. So thank you. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners about your books, your writing?
I am surprised that God has put me on this trail while in my retirement. It was not what I had thought would happen in my retirement, but he has definitely committed me to doing this. He also, in addition to my fiction books, he has led me to work on a journal and possibly a series of journals. That I have one that has been with beta readers. I just need to edit it. It's called Finding Joy in the Psalms, and I hopefully will have that one up in a little bit. God just is blessing me with ideas and good friends like you who encourage me in my writing. And I hope that other people are blessed and turn to Him through what I write.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. And I think that's a great place to end this interview. But make sure that you head over to sandraloutaylor.com. and connect with Sandy over there.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.